Welcome to Hoosier Ag This Week, as the Hoosier Ag Today news team brings you the top news stories from this past week impacting Indiana's farmers and the state's most important industry, agriculture. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and coming up on the show, harvest is nearly halfway completed across the state. You'll hear about harvest conditions across northern Indiana. Also, a legal victory for the livestock and poultry industries. Josh Trinari with Indiana Pork will join us to talk about a lawsuit that was tossed out recently that would have made things far more challenging for Indiana's pork producers. Brian Basting with Advanced Trading will join us this segment as he reviews the USDA's WASDE report that came out Friday afternoon. And you'll hear the story of an Orange County farmer who was recently harvesting soybeans when his combine quickly caught fire and was completely engulfed in flames. Not to mention his four-year-old daughter was also riding in the cab with him when it happened. Both he and his daughter made it out safely, but you'll hear about how it all went down a little later in the show. But first, there are some changes to that wide-open harvest window that we've been talking about recently, at least for the northern part of the state. Eric Pfeiffer joins us now with more.
Yeah, thanks, CJ. Ryan Martin, Seed Genetics Direct Harvest Weather Forecast has Canadian cold air moving in this weekend, and with it, the chance of some moisture. He says the threat isn't huge, maybe some hit-and-miss scattered showers, particularly in northeast Indiana.
And then we transition into just some spit and sprinkle activity later Sunday through Monday and into early Tuesday. Most of the spit and sprinkle action is due to stronger cold air flow across very warm Great Lakes regions. In northeast Indiana, I'm going to say watch for anywhere from a few hundreds to a few tenths, and that could spread about over 30% of the northern part of the state. That's all. The rest of us are going to stay dry.
Now, the other part of that equation is the cold air.
We are looking at frost and freeze conditions on three separate periods. Overnight Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. So that's where we can see frost and freeze statewide. The cold air dives all the way down through the Ohio Valley.
Martin's forecast does call for a significant warm-up late next week, Thursday through Saturday.
We're putting together a dry period there as well. I don't see any significant rain until we get into early parts of the week of the 21st. So I think that we're going to be seeing dry windows of opportunity. Good for running corn here. Beans, it should be done soon anyway. The cool temperatures for next week early on may slow the drying right out of the gate in the morning, but we're still looking at a pretty nice setup for harvest, all things considered.
Seed Genetics Direct Harvest Weather Forecast details can be in your inbox each Saturday morning. Just sign up to receive the Hoosier Ag Today e-newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
An event hosted this past week at the White House focusing on ag producers has been slammed by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Sabrina Halverson reports.
Definitely a different event than what was advertised, I think, to those that were invited a few weeks back.
Ethan Lane, Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says the event was a missed opportunity to address the real concerns of cattle producers. The White House event, which was intended to highlight the Biden administration's support for farmers and ranchers, did not include the NCBA, though some smaller chapters had been invited. According to Lane, many of the attendees represented more niche interests with a slant toward organizations supportive of government intervention in cattle markets.
Very much with a bent towards groups like Farm Action, which the Animal Ag Alliance in the last year has identified as an animal activist extremist group, rather than the ag group that they would like to portray themselves as.
One topic that Lane says he would have addressed with the White House is cattle pricing.
The cattle industry is a big, diverse industry. There are a lot of viewpoints. We have a lot of state affiliates with very different policies. Nothing is ever clean when it comes to cattle markets and how we price cattle and all that kind of stuff. Whenever you see an administration coming in claiming to fix the cattle market or in any other way insert themselves into the free market at the request of a very small group of producers to the detriment of the majority of producers out there, and doing so in a very blatant way, it is off-putting. It's disrespectful to hundreds of thousands of cattle producers across the country who have built their businesses businesses around making premiums for investments they have made in higher and higher quality cattle.
Lane says the event failed to address the real challenges that cattle producers face, though he does acknowledge the administration's efforts in response to devastating hurricanes that have left many producers in extremely challenging positions. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Well, if it feels like you're seeing more blue corduroy jackets being worn by young students these days, you're right. The National FFA organization is celebrating a milestone this year, as they've now reached over 1 million members.
We think that our FFA members across the country and our students realize how important ag is, and that it's around them every day, right? From the food we eat to the clothes we wear, the fuel we put in our car.
And that's Christy Meyer, communications manager with the National FFA, on why they believe they've hit the 1 million mark.
But we also see that our students are realizing there's an opportunity for a lot of careers in agriculture. So as they're taking their high school classes, they're really looking into what their future might hold in a role in agriculture.
Meyer says that hitting 1 million members is a reason to be happy and excited, but no reason to rest on their laurels.
I also think it's really imperative that we reach all those students who are taking those agriculture education classes and really let them know that along with that ag ed class is the opportunity to become a member of FFA and really explore agriculture a little more. I don't think we're done by any stretch of the imagination. I think we have leaps and bounds to go.
And it's hard to believe the 97th National FFA Convention and Expo is right around the corner. It kicks off on October 23rd, runs through the 26th in downtown Indianapolis. And of course, Hoosier Ag Today will be there throughout the convention and expo to bring you all of the action. It's time now for Hoosier Ag Today's Farm Market Review. And for that, here's Andy Eubank.
Thank you, CJ. It was a sell-off on Friday in the corn, soybean, and wheat markets. Also, the October USDA report came at noon Eastern time. Right near the end of trade, I checked with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading to get his analysis on the report and on the session. Brian, late in trade, the markets are lower, and in the case of soybeans on Friday, a higher move went backwards after the USDA report at 12 noon Eastern time. Let's talk about that report, any impact that it might have had on the markets in your view, and let's start with soybeans.
Well, thanks for having me as always, Andy. And really, their report as a standalone item was kind of a non-event. They left the soybean carryout for this 24-25 crop year unchanged from what it was in September. They made some small tweaks. The yield for the U.S. crop was down a tenth of a bushel from last month, but they tweak usage just a tad here and there, but really no major changes in exports, crush, crop size for that matter. And so we're kind of back to where we were 2 days ago, and that is looking at rapid harvest progress here with near record or record yields. I did notice, Andy, in the report here looking at the state-by-state breakdown, which the USDA provides us, of course, each month, that the USDA did lower the soybean yield in Indiana down to 60 bushel an acre. I believe it was 63 last month. That's still a strong number, but it is down from last month. Michigan is still at a record, but they did lower Ohio, so it may be a little bit of a dry finish to the growing season. Took that down just a tad from what it was again back in September, but I think we're looking at now just some harvest pace. Will a farmer continue to sell across the scales, Andy? We've seen a fair amount of that. So we may be seeing some hedge pressure to wrap up the week here. Not a tremendous amount, but a little bit there. And then we're going to switch our focus, I think, pretty quickly here to South America when they're just getting the soybean planting season started down in Brazil.
Brian Basting, Market Analysis. Brian is with Advanced Trading. His number is 309-664-2314. More numbers now. The settlements from Friday's trading session down 2.75 in the end on Dees Corn, 415.75. March 433 down 3.25. And May down 3.25, 441.75. Novi Beans, 9.25 down, 10.05.5. Jan contract loses a dime and a half, 10.21. Almost a nickel lower in wheat. December 599. That was down 4.75. The meat markets ended mixed. December live cattle, 70 cents lower, 187.57. And December lean hogs, 70 cents higher, 77.65. You're up to date now with the markets on the weekend show. Much more still to come. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.